So first of all, let's welcome Phil.
Being a father, and I must say I did wonder why I was asked to speak on this. Then I realised 3 children, probably above the national average. So I guess that qualifies me. I just wanted to start, I want to talk firstly about becoming a father, then I'll just make some observations about being a father. So I'll tell you about an event that happened 9 months after my birthday, which at least lends support to one theory. And this is the birth of one of our children who had an incubation name of Dot. And at that time, as I still do now actually, I had a live-in sonographer. And she was becoming a bit concerned because Dot was a little bit late wanting to come into the world. And so eventually we ended up going to the hospital. There were a few little complications. And we went in one morning, I can't remember the time, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. By about 4 o'clock, they decided they were going to do an emergency caesarean tomorrow. Now, it wasn't what I was thinking of as an emergency, but anyway, I'd been in there all day. I had not eaten, so very cunningly, I thought, 10 minutes home. I went home and I made a lovely chili. It was brilliant. I was just about to serve it up. The phone rings. They're taking me down now. Man, I had trouble leaving that chili, but I had to rush straight back to the hospital. I was going up the stairs and somebody recognised me and said, no, come down. They took me down and I stood in there. Kathy's halfway wired up and I stood there and said, I feel a bit faint. Get on the floor. I said, no, I'm okay. Get on the floor. So now I'm sat on the floor, puffing away. And that was the beginning of a little process of delivering a child. So we eventually went into the next room. By that point, I was allowed to stand up. But very little you can see under these circumstances of a caesarean. So I'm sat there talking to Kathy's head, unable to see anything else. Eventually, a baby comes out, just one little scalpel mark on the top. And but because it's all so busy, you still don't feel like a child is born. They're rushing around. So eventually we got taken off to the ward and I was given Dot to hold. And then, you won't believe it, they took Kathy out of the room. So any aspirations I had for this child were gone. There were only 2 things on my mind. One thing, I knew I could do nothing to help. And the other thing, I didn't want to get involved with if I could help it. So I was stood there, the beginning of a new relationship. Truthfully, I don't know Dot. Dot doesn't know me. And I guess that's how every relationship starts. One of the most challenging things we can do on this earth, one of the most mystical things in a way, and yet one of the biggest privileges we can have. I'm now a father and I have a daughter. What can I do in these circumstances? I guess the obvious thing, what can a father bring? I guess love is the first thing that springs to mind. And there's 2 things the Bible says about that. And that one thing is God is love. The other thing is we are made in God's image. And I think we all have an amazing desire to be loved, and we actually all have an amazing capacity to love. The second thing I guess I was thinking, what does a father bring? And that's responsibility. I think there's an amazing responsibility for couples to work together in order to set the boundaries and decide how life pans out with this new child. And the third thing is sacrifice. I love it when new couples, before they have their baby, say, this is not going to change me. Because I've got news for you. I mean, the pecking order changes. It's no longer just jealous of the cat or the dog. Something else has gone to the top of the list. And so, for sure, things change hugely. But I just wanted to draw on a story that Jesus told, which is a story of the prodigal son, which I think everybody probably knows, except maybe my daughter. But anyway, just a couple of things to say is the son, the young son who asks for his inheritance and goes off and squanders it all. You know, it's interesting that father had to let the son go. And in that sense, you know, we don't get to control our children. We get to set the environment for our children to put them in an environment where they can grow and flourish. But it's not our responsibility, the choices they make. And I guess I know the story of the prodigal son's not really a story about me, but it's the same in God's kingdom. You know, God has given us freedom. We have a choice. The second observation is the older son, you know, he also had freedom to do what he wanted. And yet somehow he never really accepted the inheritance that was his. And I was praying earlier with guys and I just made a flippant comment that, you know, where there are fathers, there are children. And certainly in God's kingdom, you know, it's a big thing for us to understand who Father is so that we step into what Father has made us to be, what Father offers us. The older son, in a way to me, was quite sad because in a way he's never, you know, he hasn't really done what we might term as wrong, like the younger son, but he's never really understood what it is to be a son. But the father is the real figure in this story because I look at those circumstances and think, what as a father would I have done? You know, would I have wandered inside and got out my big list of all the things that had gone wrong and exactly what the son or daughter had done? Would that be me? Or would I be like the father who saw the son returning from afar off and just full of love ran to welcome my son home? It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, the fact that we're made with such a love and a passion for love, you know, we've just been praying about our country and we see the impact of a lack of love. We can't blame the fire on that necessarily, but certainly a lot of the other problems, people being mown down in the street, this is where love has gone. There is no love. There is no sense of how amazing we are. There is no sense of how important we are. There is no sense of where God is in all of this. And for us, you know, love is the most important thing. And I just think, Amy, I don't know what your dreams are for Lily May, my granddaughter, but I guess they're not going to be too dissimilar for what my dreams are for you. And what is it do we want for our children? You know, I want you to be happy. I guess everybody wants their children to be happy. I want you to be confident and have an amazing sense of who you are and how amazing you are. It's not a message of the world, but it's true. God has made you an amazing person. I want you to know that you're loved. I want you to know that, you know, your family loves you. You're very important. And I guess I would want you to come to know God because God is your maker. He passionately is searching for you. He passionately wants you to accept him. And, yeah, this is the love that God has for us. Maybe God, a slightly better father than me, but actually our family units are a kind of a bit of a reflection of what God's kingdom is for us. For sure, God, a much better father, but actually we're made to be together. We're made to have a relationship with each other. And I'd just like to finish by very badly misquoting a verse, and it goes like this. What can a father bring? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Absolutely brilliant. Thanks, Phil. That's brilliant. And now I'd like to welcome Jeff.
Phil, I just want to say thank you. That's just a brilliant, brilliant share. Thank you. And very moving. Thank you. It's Father's Day. It's a little bit like Mother's Day, but you don't necessarily get quite such a good selection of presents. So a father actually never feels worthy of the worship that he sees in the child's eyes when the child is young. He never quite feels that he's the hero that his daughter thinks he is. And he's never quite the man that his son believes him to be. And this worries him sometimes. Not always. We are what we are. But when it comes to Father's Day, you know, what presents did you get? I mean, that's the key thing, isn't it? What presents did you get? And did you get a bottle of Cask Strength whiskey? That was high on my list. Very good. Very good stuff. Very strong stuff. And it's a bit like what the Bible is like. The Bible's very strong stuff. And you must read the Bible responsibly. Because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And the Bible really changes things. You can't just do things easily once you've read the Bible, because it's so intense. Just like the Cask Strength whiskey is so intense. There are three things, three bits of advice I wanted to share with you. Three presents which you may have got today. This was never on my list. Never been a great one for a new pair of trainers. But really, being a father, it's like you're an initiator, and the Bible starts with this message to us all. So let me just read a little section from the first book of Genesis. Verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move. And all the creatures that move along the ground.'" And so God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the world and subdue it." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very, very good. God is a creator. And he's made us to be creators. He's made us to be initiators. And sometimes when it comes to fatherhood, we start something and we don't know how it will end. And I just really wanted to share with you that that fatherhood excuse me, just find my way around here. The fatherhood is not actually just for fathers. It's not just for men. It's not even... it's not restricted, because fatherhood is about starting something, about following something through. And that's for us all, to start and to follow through. So our second present could well be something for the grill, and knowing who the provider is. Sorry, that's a... Something for the grill. And as two of them went on together, actually, just before I start this, this is a story that not everything in the Bible you should comment, you should imitate. You need to read the Bible very carefully. We all need to read the Bible very carefully, so we shouldn't be imitating everything. And this is a story which is probably the greatest strain between a father and a son in a relationship that I can think of in the Bible. Abraham and Isaac went off into the hills to worship God and to make a sacrifice to God. And Isaac, the son, is a clever kid. He looked around and he was observing what was going on. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke and said to his father, "Father..." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together, and when they reached a place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering and instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. We need just always to look to God as our provider, as the one who shows the way. This is a seriously dodgy story, I have to say. But we as men, with our barbecue outfits on, have been celebrating the outcome of this story in our gardens for many, many centuries since. And not many of you realize just where that story came from or as to why we barbecue every Sunday. But it's to remember this particular and important moment. So the third piece of advice is matching outfits. Yes, that's the thing we get as fathers, get a little outfit just to look just like our kid. Here we have Team Robinson here. And I guess that's the claim, isn't it? It's to be someone that our children can imitate. Be a great example. And of course, as Phil said earlier, the greatest example of all is love. So follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there mustn't be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper to God's holy people, and nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, and these people have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Yeah, we should be examples, great examples to our kids in the way that we live and the way we. They will copy us anyway. It's true to say they will copy us anyway. So if they're copying the bad things. I have to say, I just want a sort of a word of honour here for Roger, who's a spiritual Roger Jameson. He was a spiritual father to me, someone who I looked at as a way to go, someone to imitate, someone with values that I could follow and imitate. So, thank you, Evelyn, for your husband Roger, and the good ways in which he became someone who I could imitate. But we our children will imitate us, all that we do, good and the bad. There's five things we should avoid being and doing. I won't go into those in great things, but we shouldn't be a critic. By the way, this applies to work, to relationships across the piece. We shouldn't be a critic. We shouldn't be a control freak telling them all the time how to do it all the time, what to do all the time. We shouldn't be absent all the time. Sometimes life tears us away and we have to be absent. But that's a bad thing. We shouldn't be violent. And we shouldn't be a manipulator. We shouldn't manipulate people. These are all negative values, negative issues. And they all lead to bad outcomes. But there's three great things to share. Read a book out loud. Read it all the way through. So one of the things I really enjoy doing with my kids when they were younger, play about outside for hours. Just spend time. Be silly. Be foolish. Clown about a lot. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, and a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And one day, if you're lucky, your kids will grow up, and they'll be the adults that you wanted to, and they have the lives that you want them to have. And again, I'd just say that this is for all of the things that we do in life. This is not just for men and for fathers. This is for us all to see life through, to see people coming to a new and a fulfillment in all that they do. So thank you for that. And this is my family, and I'm very proud of them. Cheers.